Welcome to this very special edition of Ag Chat, a podcast brought to you by the Association of Women in Agriculture at UW-Madison. We are so excited to have some very special guests on today's episode.
Today we are going to be talking with two AWA alumni, Katie Katzman and Valerie Johnson Rank, about their take on the phrase AWA's 50th anniversary celebration, More Than Plows and Cows. And of course, we want to know more about your time in AWA and how it prepared you for your career today.
But before we dive into that, my name is Sadie Gadel, and I am the alumni coordinator here at UW-Madison. I am from Berlin, Wisconsin, and I'm an ag business management and comm arts major.
My name is Alexis Kwok. I am a political science, international studies, and Chinese major. I'm a senior. I'm the president of the organization this year, and I'm from Ridgeland, Wisconsin.
And hello, my name is Katie Katzman. I graduated in 1998 with degrees in dairy science and agricultural journalism. Today, I live in Whitewater, and I am the office manager for our family farm.
And last, hopefully not least, my name is Valerie Rank. I graduated, and now I know you're all thinking, I wasn't born then, but I graduated in 1986. I had a double major in continuing and vocational education, a major that doesn't exist anymore. It was a co-program between the School of Education and the College of Agriculture. It was designed really to make you be ready to be a 4-H and youth agent. So a co-degree between that and agricultural journalism, same as Katie. And today I am the CEO of the Dane County Habitat for Humanity.
I was born then. I was 10.
Thank you, Katie. So I guess let's maybe tell a little bit more about that. I'm sure everybody's wondering, Habitat for Humanity, what does that have to do with agriculture? So maybe I'll just start out and tell a little bit about that, that, you know, as I am super duper old, as I've already shared, I'm almost 59. My career has been in and out of agriculture, as you'd hope to be by 59. You'd reach a rich peak of your career. Hopefully, I'd like to think I'm there. So I started my career at AgSource Cooperative. I was the director of communications. Then it was called Wisconsin Dairy Herd Improvement Cooperative. In fact, one of our board members was Katie's grandfather. That was kind of a highlight. And I went on to work at World Dairy Expo as their director of sales. So I got a great experience in sales. I've also worked in, and my third, and these are not in order, but I also worked in agriculture as director of development for the American Society of Agronomy, where I got to travel all over the country meeting with the professors in soils and crops and agronomy. That was a wonderful job. I love that. But then I'd kind of go back and forth and work out of agriculture too. So I worked at CUNA, the Credit Union National Association, and their in-house advertising agency. And later on, I worked for WOCU, the International Credit Union Trade Association, where I got to travel all over the world, including China. So some wonderful experiences in a global economy there. And really, all of those kind of added up to just helping people, whether it be through science or nonprofits. And that's what qualified me. I don't know how it did, but somehow it did for my job at Habitat for Humanity. Because as CEO, you do a little bit of everything. So all these wonderful broad experiences are what brought me to the work I do now, helping people through affordable housing, affordable home ownership, really, financial capability training, critical home repair, and even some rentals now we're getting into. So it's really been fun to come spend my time, instead of all over the world, right back here in Dane County again.
Well, I can't say my career has taken me as many places as Valerie. I had an internship with AgReview, which was part of Capital Newspapers at the time, the second semester of my senior year. And I started full time with them immediately after graduation, quickly worked my way up to managing editor. And I was there until 2004, started in 1998 when I graduated. At the time, I had a 2-year-old and 1-year-old. And right as I gave my notice, I found out I was expecting my third child. So I did end up having 3 kids in less than 3 years. And so the timing was just right for me to return to our family farm. Over the past almost 20 years now since I've been home, our operation has really grown and evolved. Today, we're milking over 3,000 cows. We finish about 10,000 fat cattle a year. We have a heifer ranch in Kansas. And between that and our other entities, there's never a dull moment. My main responsibilities, it's hard to describe as the office manager, but I'm really the glue for our operation. I tried to come up with a job description, but, you know, I'm the planner, I'm the doer, I'm the organizer, the orderer, the counselor. I keep everybody together around that place. I'm the only woman on our payroll. We have just under 50 employees. So that is also a unique position to still be in the year 2023. So I spend most of my days coordination between we milk at three different locations and trying to keep everybody in line. And with three young adults, the kids are now 20, 19, and 18, and helping them launch their careers. Both the boys are involved full-time with the farm. And my daughter, Elizabeth, has her own small business that she's launched. Keeps us very busy.
Wow, well, that's all very impressive. And both of you really touched on your careers nicely. So how has AWA really prepared you for those future careers and your goals and responsibilities?
So while I was in AWA, the woman who was leading the development efforts for CALS, Marcy Heim, she was an AWA member. She's the first one who recruited me to do some development, what we call fundraising work at the time, and got me kind of interested in it. And I did a lot of volunteer work in fundraising, and I liked it. But I do remember thinking at one point, well, you know, I could maybe do fundraising, but, you know, I really don't want to do two things, fundraising and international work. Well, guess what my last job was? Fundraising internationally. So one thing I'd like to share that I share with a lot of student groups is, you know, just never say never, because you never know what you're going to fall into later on. So be open to new experiences. So that was a really interesting thing for me to learn at AWA, was even what fundraising was or what it meant. So I thank Marcy for sharing that with me. But the thing that I loved most about AWA was the support. There's several of us from all over, but especially there's a group from my particular class that we still get together and do things, and we talk and just share advice. You know, how do you handle this situation? I've got a problem employee. What do I do? My boss is bothering me. What do I do about that? And it's those kinds of questions you can't just ask everybody, especially, you know, Katie, you're an owner. I'm a CEO. I can't go to my staff underneath me and get advice. So you have to be in peer groups. And sometimes when it's personal, I can't even go to my peer groups. That's when my AWA friends I turn to.
Absolutely. And Valerie and her group of friends, when I was a young alumni, now considered an older alumni, I remember turning to them, help. You know, can you review my resume? Can we do a mock interview? Valerie, Julie Larson, Marjorie Steve, those were among the alumni that I turned to. Just thinking what I got out of AWA was thinking on my feet. That's what I do all day, every day. I problem solve, I put out fires, and my involvement in AWA, Badger Dairy Club, all the organizations I was in, I think about, you know, this time of year, you know, March, everything's ramping up. My group started Breakfast on the Farm. So I think of those months, Breakfast on the Farm, we had the cattle sale that was online now, I believe, but it used to be in person in the Stock Pavilion. All the planning that went into that. So the time management, the thinking on your feet. I'll never forget one day I was sitting in my room here in between classes, making some calls, trying to secure a sauerkraut donation for the BDC sale. And on the other line, yes, we had call waiting back then, I click over. And some telemarketer calls and is looking for a Caddy Do. I'm like, Caddy Do? I'm like, I'm Katie Dewey. And I'm like, let me get back to get this sauerkraut donation, and I got to get to class. But I just, you know, all the things you were involved in, and it really helped me figure out how I could manage what most days is an overflowing plate of responsibility.
I guess since you guys have been back and been involved as alumni, what have you guys seen changed? What do the actives do different? What do we do the same? What do you guys think is cool we do? Anything like that?
I think you guys probably take your studies a little more seriously than we did. I was content to, graduate with a respectable GPA, but I didn't have to have the, the 4.0 that I had in high school. I wanted to absorb all those experiences and take advantage of them and work how many hundred hours during World Dairy Expo and go to ADSA and maybe never go to the zoology lecture, but get all the print notes and still pass the class because I was taking advantage of other opportunities. It's a lot more competitive, I think, for you guys as students nowadays than when we were in school. You know, I took my ACT, I got a 26. I'm like, that's good enough for Madison. Now I don't think a 26 may get you into Madison in the year 2023. But very much more competitive than it was back in the day. Wouldn't you agree, Val?
Yeah, I was going to say the bar is a lot higher. And speaking of ACTs, SATs, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but when I applied to come to UW-Madison, if you were in the top half of your Wisconsin high school class, you automatically got in. No need for that. Look at this look on your faces. Yes, yes. So it was not as academically tough to get in back then. And my first semester tuition bill, $499.
My last semester was just over $1,500.
Preference, ours is like $5,300, something like that for per semester.
And UW is still a good value compared to a lot of schools, so I don't mean to complain, but what I know, I help pay for my kids, so I know there's a big difference in the cost of living. You know, again, I'm in the affordable housing industry. Try to, buy some land anywhere near the UW. Ouch. Ouch.
It's been fun, though, to follow, over the past 20, 25 years, I guess, since I've been out, having graduated in 98, the traditions that you guys still continue, to see the growth of breakfast on the farm. I know you guys still have formal. That was always a big, exciting time. Even mm-hmm. making the decision where we were going to host formal was always a big ordeal. Mm-hmm. But that you guys continue those traditions. You still maintain those three pillars of AWA, the service, social, professional organization that we are. One thing I think that has changed, and I think Valerie, you would agree, most of us in my day grew up on farms or had very strong ties to production agriculture. I know there's still a very strong base in AWA of those involved in production agriculture, but I think that's widening. You don't have as many traditional farm kids, I guess. And so there's a little difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of life science, which is good. And I want to add one thing that, maybe think about. This house, everybody thinks about the house, right? Remember, when I first came here, we did not have a house. We had our AWA meetings above the dairy cattle center where they milked cows. It smelled. It was not very nice. You had, so just having the house to me is still a big change from when I was a student.
Val, that dairy cattle center wasn't that bad. I worked there 3 or 4 days a week. I would hike over Bascom Hill. Actually, one year, my sister and I, in our formals, hiked from AGR Formal to start work at 2:30 or 3 a.m. at the dairy cattle center. I used to have an ag econ lecture with Marv Johnson at 9:15 or whenever that started. So if you started early in the morning, you came back to the house, you showered, and then you had to sit down and listen to an ag econ that was way over my head at the time, I would just pinch myself to stay awake the whole time.
You know, one other difference, and this is not good, but when we were students, everybody had a faculty advisor. And that faculty advisor would, just help you get an internship, help you get a research experience. And I understand now that, the advising is just an academic staff person. So I think that is one thing that I'm disappointed that Cal's does not do that anymore. All the other colleges always did that. And that was always one differentiation of Cal's. So I am disappointed that that is no longer available to AWA members.
As you guys have grown in your alumniship, I've gotten a little farther away from the organization. How has the relationship between students and alumni affected you guys as alumni, and how do you guys think you are helping the students?
So I was very active as an alumni right after college. The last position I held actually as a student was house manager. And then right after graduation, I got involved in the house management committee. And shortly after that, I was chairing the committee. I'd never owned a house. I'd never, you know, the only house I lived in was my parents' house on Tamarack Road in Sussex, you know? And so now I was in charge of this new house and, and then I was involved probably for the next, 12, 15 years in different capacities.
I hear you saying you popped in and out. I kind of did that too, right? We have other work and home responsibilities. I've been on the finance committee. I've been on house management. I did a lot for one of the house fundraising campaigns, not the first one, but a later on one. In fact, my favorite memory there is we had to lay bricks near the front door, you know, where it said, you know, Valerie, whatever my name was at the time, you know, donated this much. And to we had to take up the blank bricks, get them labeled and then put them down. And I had a fancy Pampered Chef spatula that we could use to get them up. And I was the only one that could figure that out. So I was very proud that I figured that out. Frankly, you know, as somebody who does fundraising, I really appreciate it when the alumni who maybe, especially those who don't live nearby and can't participate as being a big sister or some of those things, which that was fun being a big sister at different times or whatever we call them, when they can just help with financial support. So that's a wonderful thing too. So I've tried to do what I can as a financial support, as you see when it says over the kitchen, Johnson Kitchen.
Yeah. So when my kids got to elementary school age, I did take a big step back from my involvement in AWA. And then, of course, I just didn't sit idle. I was president of our parents group for 5 years and ran that like a little business and coached boys and girls basketball, was a club softball coach, and really jumped right into the kids' activities. But now that my kids are all graduated high school and moving on in their own careers, I've had a little more time for AWA, and I feel that I offer a little different perspective now. My kids are as old as you guys are, as actives. And so I don't know, my kids might have a little different opinion, but I probably can appreciate you guys a little better than when I was a younger alumni. Like back then I was like, okay, I'm an alumni now. Now I'm like, okay, I'm a mom. I can appreciate where you guys are in life because that's where my kids are as well.
So I didn't mention, Katie mentioned her family. I have a son and a daughter, and my daughter was an AWA member. So that was kind of fun to just see it through her eyes. And, you know, like Katie said, she did not grow up on a farm. Now her grandparents were farmers. She had aunts and uncles who were in production agriculture. But she was actually a science kiddo. She loved being in Science Olympiad, and her major was plant pathology. And so she actually, after she left UW-Madison, she went to get a PhD in plant pathology at Michigan State. So now she's working for Bayer on the wheat team. And she loves it because she feels like she's making a real difference in food security. And they love her because she actually gets the customer, how farmers who use their wheat genetics are being benefited. So that's been a real benefit to her to be involved in AWA and have friends in AWA who really told her and taught her more about that production side. So that was a really good coming together of science and production agriculture. So I really appreciate that. And it was fun to see AWA again through her eyes.
I've been working on the Facebook post for our 50th anniversary celebration, and it's been really fun to experience AWA or experience with all these women AWA and the stories. And, you know, I was in school smack dab in the middle of our 50 year history, having, you know, graduated in 1998. And I know a lot of our older alumni and a lot of our younger alumni. And it's just been to hear the stories and to see how far we've come as an organization. You look back and think 10 women had this vision in 1973, and I wasn't even born then at that time. And to see where we are today with the house and what you guys are continuing, you know, the tradition as actives, that's just been really fun to watch how that's all come together over 50 years.
Sadie, as the alumni coordinator, do you want to share a little bit about how that active alumni relationship looks like from our end?
Sure. So on the student end of things, since I'm the alumni coordinator, I plan some real world seminars, which helps our active members prepare for a career outside of college. So this past Tuesday, I actually brought in Caitlin Riley, who is an AWA alum, to help come teach our girls how to prepare their networking skills. I also run the mentorship program, which connects alumni with students, and the alumni will mentor the student in whatever field they are interested in. I also plan some social events and just help connect alumni and actives together, which I appreciate our strong alumni base helping our students.
Yeah, and on the front of the mentorship program, I actually went out tonight to have dinner with my alumni mentor, Julie Larson, and I learned that she was a state FFA officer as well. That's something I didn't know about her. That's a cool little connection we got to make. I actually learned that she knew my aunt. She knew a lot of my state officer teammates and their parents. So finding those connections with our alumni is so cool, and knowing that the network runs so deep within AWA.
It does. You know, when we first got married and I was on the farm, my husband couldn't believe, like, every week some new AWA alum or, you know, UW-Madison alum would stop by the farm and say, "Oh, yeah, I went to school with Katie. Oh, yeah." And he's like, "How many people?" And then, when we had gotten married, we had 500 people at our wedding. Well, of course, there were going to be a lot of people stopping by the farm that knew me. But in it, now that it, the network spans generations. That's really exciting to see with our second generation members. And, you know, Valerie and I were talking earlier about sisters in AWA. We know of three families, including the Johnson, Valerie's family, the Larsons, Julie Krull, the Krulls, and then my family, the Dewey sisters. We all had three sisters go through AWA, which was... And my youngest sister was several years behind us, so she experienced things just a little different than we did in the late 90s. For me, it all revolves around the sisterhood. The first group of students lived in this house in 1994, the year I was a freshman, so I had the opportunity to live in what we still call the new house for 3 years. And just... what went on when we'd come home late in the evening, the sisterhood then, even when we had house jobs, some of our monthly house jobs would be to scrub the grout in the kitchen. I think maybe it was more of a punishment, but we embraced it, and we may have had some beverages, and we had our toothbrushes out, and we played some music, and we had a grand old time scrubbing the grout at that in the kitchen.
So speaking of the new house, I will contrast that to the old house. Before this house, you may recall AWA had two houses on this property. The white house that's now the rental next door, 1911, I think is the address. And then this little blue house sat on what's now 1909. So I lived in that first little blue house the year we first owned houses. So the thing that was so cool about being involved in that, I know there were women that rented houses together as part of the Ag Women's Co-op and whatever, but we were in that first group that lived in an owned house. And that was just really cool being the first. And, you know, you talk about coming up with these guidelines and rules. So that's what we got to do. We got to decide. We're going to have a house steward and we're going to have a house manager. And what do they do? And like, I was a house steward. I was the first house steward. And so I got a free parking spot. So guess what, mom and dad, I get to bring the car up from the farm, right? And then how do we handle cleaning? How do we handle cooking? And just all these things, we were the first. So we had to, right? Those are the same sides of the same coin, two sides of the same coin, to develop all the guidelines. And I'm sure you guys changed them all and made them better, but it was really a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun to sit down and figure out what rules are we going to operate under and how do we relate to the club and how does this all work? So that was just really fun because I love to have committees meet and executive committee meetings, and I'm a committee meetings person, so probably bored other people, but I loved it.
Well, that free parking did continue. I was house manager and had a free parking spot, but I didn't have my first vehicle until I was a senior in college, and I had to share that car with my sister, who was a year younger, and I had a Fuzzbuster at the time. And it never stayed suctioned to the dash or on the window or anything. So she hated driving in Madison. So her job was holding the Fuzz Buster on the dash, so when I turned a corner, it wouldn't go flying. But when I was house manager, Brenda Banky Murphy, she was house steward, I think maybe the year before. She had one of those traditional Woody wagons that you probably needed a CDL to operate. But we would go to Woodman's in Brenda's Woody wagon and pick up all the groceries. And man, could you get a lot of groceries in that vehicle. But then, you know, we came back to the house and, you know, that's a chore I hate now as a mom is, okay, I'll do the shopping, but putting it all away. But how much fun we used to have. Again, we turned the music on and we would just put all the groceries away. And it wasn't a big deal because we did it together.
I know even when our house steward comes back now, the few times I've helped unload groceries, it almost seems like there was no room left, but the groceries still keep coming. Mm-hmm.
I think the Woody Wagon and Betty have quite high parallels. Betty is our house manager's vehicle. Fits a lot of groceries and a lot of people when we need it to.
So June Schwindeman and Gail Whitrock had a car that we called the Hereford car because it was like red and white. And it looked like a black baldy Hereford. And Dale Beatty, Mr. FFA state president, he parked here. You know, we would let you rent a parking spot. And lo and behold, we found out our keys worked in each other's cars. So there's lots of good parking stories. We made a lot of money on football parking back in those years when we had the two houses. There was a lot of parking in between. And we tell the members, you got to go park in the street on football Saturdays because we're parking this baby full. And that was a really good moneymaker for the corporation.
It was when I was in school. Do you guys still do football parking?
Yeah, we sell it to tailgaters. So there's a group of people that buy it for all 7 games and we all get our cars kicked out to the street and then they come.
Yeah, I was never involved really in football parking. I found that I could go hide in Steenbach during the football game and then still meet out with all my friends afterwards. But I still felt that accomplishment that I had my homework done. And that was my justification then for staying out until the wee hours in the morning, I guess.
My favorite memory overall, though, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, Katie, is the night after, and of course, we never had parties, but some of the men's living units would have parties. The next morning, you know, it'd be a little, maybe Sunday morning, 10, 11 o'clock, we'd kind of filter down in our pajamas, get some coffee, and all we'd all gather in the downstairs living room, because this was, remember, two different apartment kind of places. And we'd all gather. Well, what did you see last night? What did you see last night? What was the good, interesting things that happened at this party last night, whatever it was? And it was just that wonderful, wonderful bonding experience of reliving the fun the night before, who ended up with who was kissing whom. And Julie Soak Up Erky, her future mother-in-law, had this most fabulous recipe for taco dip. And we'd always try to make that taco dip. So whenever I see that taco dip, it just brings back memories of the fun gathering times at the AWA floor in the White House lower living room.
And nowadays, all these kids have those darn cell phones, so everything's documented. We did not have cell phones when I was in college, and it's a good thing. All the memories are up here in my mind.
So as I was house steward, it was my job because we literally had a landline upstairs and a landline downstairs and one in the blue house. I would get the bills and I would have to go through and say, okay, this is Katie's, this is Valerie's, this is Julie Larson's. And then total it up. Okay, Katie, you owe $11.52. Valerie, you owe $9.57. And if you didn't claim your call, then I'd have to call them and say, hey, who do you know at the AWA house? Oh, Katie, this is your call and you didn't claim it. That was a horrible, horrible job. But I had to do that every month. So pre-cell phones, that's what we did, is you had to use a landline at the house. And if you weren't there and somebody called, we'd actually write down, Katie, your dad called, call him back, and leave you a little note on your door. It was horrible.
I have to agree that those morning debriefs or those night debriefs are some of my favorite memories here in the house. One that actually comes to mind off the top of my head. My boyfriend got pulled over one night, my sophomore year. And it was because he didn't have his lights on in the car. So we come home and we're like, okay, they made us unload the car. Like, there's going to be cops pulling in. Nothing happened. Don't worry. And we come in the house. And I think everyone who lived in the house at this time, it was sitting in the basement. or not in the basement, upstairs in the great room, waiting to hear this story at 2 a.m. and just wanting the debrief and going, "Yeah, we don't have anything better to do. We're all up. We'll just come sit down here and wait for you guys to come home and hear the stories." And we have so many nights and mornings like that. And it's just so fun to see what everybody saw and hear what everybody heard and everybody's different little side quests that they went on over the night.
Yes, I know all of us AWA sisters, we love hearing what everyone else is up to and the drama that gets involved with Egg Campus here.
And there can't be any drama with, what, 24 women now living in the same house? You know, there's 26 when I lived here. Those two triples were, or the two front rooms were triples. And so when I tell people I lived with 25 other people, including my own sister when I went to college, they're like, "You're crazy." I'm like, "No, it was the greatest 3 years of my life up until then."
We still hear that today with only 24 girls living in the house.
Yeah. Or do you guys still UAV the membership coordinator? Do you guys know what UAVing is?
Oh.
Did you guys do that, Valerie?
No, well, we would call up Babcock and ask them to UAV their members, and we would, you know, clap and applaud. And
So once we, you know, were finished the joining process, we would haul out our membership coordinator, and you know, we were all dressed up and our formal, you know, professional, and haul her into the middle of University Avenue and fill up every bowl and pitcher of water and douse her with water. And you know, the mom in me now thinks, "Oh, that's too dangerous." But back when you're 20 years old, there was a lot of dangerous things we did that you just are happy to be here today.
So I guess I'll go back to, I really appreciated that it was here for my daughter. Because I remember too, I was the first, when we got the new house, I was the first potential coordinator. In fact, I'm the one who came up with that word. And I remember going, you know, what goes in the book? And one of the story, we put in stories in the book from the founding folks. And one of the stories, I think it was Phyllis Gerner Agnew. And she talked about how, you know, I worked in one of the labs on campus and I would come home and I would smell like animals. And the people in my dorm were like, "Ew, you smell." And I needed to find other women who understood animals. And that was one of the impetuses for AWA. And, you know, whether it's you smell like a laboratory or whether you understand GMOs or whatever that is, we all want to have some time with people who can talk about some of the same things. So it's a sisterhood, but the social professional, you know, we need that, "Hey, can you help me find this internship thing too?" So, you know, being with a group that can be helpful to you professionally, as well as just understand where you came from in this huge UW-Madison, is something that's really special, and you just don't find that anywhere. I found it, my daughter found it, and I want it to be here for other women in the future.
AWA has always been our home away from home. Like you said, UW-Madison is a huge campus and it seems to get bigger all the time. Maybe not so much with enrollment, but in the world we live in where everything is electronic and there isn't all, you know, so much that's face to face. And just knowing that AWA was a place that grounded me and I could count on, and AWA is a small place where you could be comfortable and be who you were on this big UW-Madison campus.
Yeah, I agree with everything. I feel like AWA just makes campus feel a lot smaller than it really is, and it brings a family to us, even though we may not have family that are living nearby. I know we have a lot of girls who are from out of state, so we are their family here when they're studying.
And it brings those connections that you wouldn't get to find if you weren't in the organization. So even outside of the organization, you think of everything that a lot of AWA, AGR, Babcock is involved in, like Badger Dairy Club, CFB. Like those are all places where you get to continue to network with people outside of just AWA. You get to meet the AGR boys. You get to meet the people who live in Babcock and make those connections with them that are so, so important in college and looking towards the future.
I'm just looking at some of these paintings on the wall that the different classes did when they came in. You know, I'm seeing Mary Knigge. You know, I believe she is a advocacy person in Washington, D.C. And, you know, here's Katie. She's an owner of a huge operation. I mean, that's amazing. And I mentioned it's not a huge nonprofit. We have 42 people. But still, to have that CEO experience is something that some people can learn from. I look at all these women listed on the walls, and some of them were all doing pretty incredible things. So that's what I think is really important, too, that we have this, maybe intergenerational isn't the right word, but different women of different stages in their life that we can ask questions. How are you handling asking for a leave at work? How are you handling problems with, you know, new folks at work that aren't whatever? We're at different stages and we need different advice. And there's a plethora of women who have been through it all or are going to go through it all that we can turn to. That's what is so fabulous about AWA.
So speaking of the plethora of women who've gone through it all, been through it all, that really ties into our AWA More Plows Than Cows. Like, not everybody stayed in Production Ag. Not everybody has come from Production Ag. So what does that theme for the 50th mean to you guys?
I think we're all brought together by a common denominator of agriculture. And what that means is different for me. It's different for you. You know, I was a dairy science major, so that's very different than somebody who's in agronomy. But agriculture is that common denominator for us all.
Yeah, even though my main work right now is affordable home ownership, I still live on a farm. My husband's business is, you know, Rank Seed. So that's something that I work still with a little bit just through him. My, you know, family, I still own some farmland myself. And we all have a real interest in food security. If people don't have enough good quality food to eat, that is a real problem for all of society. So no matter what your job is, we all need to take a real interest in food security at some level.
And looking at that from my lens, I'm actually on the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization Food Security Committee. So being able to look at food security at that high level scale shows how much goes into making sure that people are food secure, and it's past just production agriculture. It's in logistics, it's in politics, it's in advocacy, it's in environmental studies, it's in transportation. It is everywhere that you could even imagine.
And we all play a role in that. I'm sure you can find an AWA alumni that is involved in just about every aspect of what you just described. And that is so unique to our organization.
Yes, it is International Women's Day. And we are an organization of women supporting women in agriculture, whether agriculture has been in your past, present, or future. I think that we all agree that we are women supporting women. And when women support women, really amazing things can happen. I know you both had touched on your careers and some of the careers of your colleagues. So I think that's pretty amazing.
And I just want to emphasize that supporting other women, that is what I love about AWA too. There's a lot of times maybe in the workplace, I haven't always felt that women have supported other women. They think, oh, there's only room for one at the table, so I'm in competition with her. But at AWA, we support each other and we want to help each other. So I really applaud that.
Yes, I think whether it's, you know, helping each other with a mock interview or just professional skills in general, we really are a tight-knit community.
So as we've been talking about our 50th year here in AWA and our 50th celebration, we just wanted to remind everyone, alumni, actives, anybody listening, that our 50th anniversary celebration is on April 15th. So come join us.
We are so excited. I came a little late to the game. Marjorie Steve asked me to get involved and help with the Facebook posts. And that has just renewed my excitement for the organization. So there are alumni that I've never met, but I featured on Facebook that I'm looking forward to meeting in person at AWA Day. We're going to kick off with house tours, an open house here at 1 o'clock. And then the annual meeting is at 3 o'clock. Social begins at 4:30. 5:30, we'll have dinner and the AWA prayer, which Valerie was part of writing. And then that will be followed by a banquet program. And new this year, we're going to have a DJ. So brush up your Macarena skills, girls.
And if you have any questions about the event, more details, want to see these fantastic Facebook posts that we've been talking about, follow our Facebook page, follow our Instagram. We're the Association of Women in Agriculture at UW-Madison, and there's an event page there so that you guys can stay updated with any discussion or updates.
And for any alumni who are listening, there is a private AWA alumni group page that we have on Facebook, and I would encourage you to join that as well.
Katie and Valerie, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come chat with us. We are looking forward to seeing you both again on April 15th.
It was a lot of fun to come back to the house tonight. Thank you so much for inviting Valerie and I to participate in this episode.
Thank you.
Well, this is Sadie.
This is Alexis.
Valerie.
And this is Katie.
Thank you for tuning into this very special episode of Ag Chat, brought to you by the Association of Women in Agriculture.
Bye. Bye.